Hey, podcast listener. Are you working so hard you wonder if the money is even worth it? If you're like most CPAs I work with, you have way too much to do, you feel relentless deadline pressure, and worst of all, you feel torn between serving clients and being with family. What if I told you you could work a 40-hour week without losing a dime? I know it sounds impossible, but my Down to 40 Hours CPA Mastermind is designed for CPAs just like you who want to get their lives back. Down to 40 Hours CPA Mastermind is launching soon. In it, you'll learn how to start getting your time back week by week, make your workload manageable while still bringing in plenty of revenue, what to put in your packages and how to price them, and so much more. Don't leave your future to chance. CPA Mastermind will get you on the sane, profitable path you've been searching for. With unlimited coaching, your success is guaranteed. Go to GeraldineCarter.com to learn more. Dates, times, pricing, it's all there.
You know, if you hire someone who has the right skills, but just isn't a good fit for whatever reason, that may work out temporarily, but hiring the wrong person is expensive in time and money and frustration.
Welcome to the Business Strategy for CPAs podcast, where I help overworked CPAs go down to 40 hours and then down to 25 hours without giving up revenue. My name is Geraldine Carter, and today we're talking about the five most painful mistakes to avoid in offshoring. I want to take a minute to set this up. When I listen to clients talk about their challenges, a theme that comes up regularly has to do with hiring and staffing and existing staff challenges, finding the right staff, what role you're looking for, where to look for people, what to pay, should you look locally or remote, should you go offshore, should you hire offshore, should you contract offshore, all the questions. Because there are so many questions related to all things hiring and staffing, I'm doing a series of podcast episodes to get insight on the variety of aspects related to staff and hiring challenges. Making hiring mistakes is expensive in terms of money, time, and the emotional investment. Making a great hire can really pay off, and I want to help you hire as well as you can. This interview is the first in the series, and we're talking about how to avoid the most painful mistakes related to offshoring. And my guest today is Isaac Smith, founder of TeamUp, which specializes in hiring top Filipino accountants. Isaac, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here with you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation. And for listeners who haven't met you, because I've seen you twice now at conferences around the country, tell us a little bit more who you are, where you are, and a little bit more about TeamUp and why it is you have the perspective and the expertise to speak on this topic.
Well, as it may become clear, I do have a very different perspective than what I hear most people talking about. And that's because I built my global teams over many years, just kind of doing my own thing. I didn't have the knowledge or awareness of the whole industry of outsourcing when I started. I've done a lot of different things. So I've been working with teams in various countries for about 10 years or so. I have a bookkeeping business that I started about 4 years ago with a partner, and we built our team in the Philippines. It's just him and I in the US. We're in Portland, Oregon, by the way. And they're amazing, great, wonderful people. And we have just been heads down working, and then other accountants start asking questions like, what are you doing over there? How does that work? And then more questions and more questions and more questions. And then eventually it always gets to the point where it's like, wow, that sounds great. Can you just help me find somebody? So initially I just said, yeah, sure. That sounds like fun. And then they told other people, and then eventually it grew. And so before I knew it, I was helping other people hire. And the main difference is I always hired my team directly. I hired people, not companies. And that just made sense to me, because why wouldn't I? And I learned that that is not the most common thing. So when we started helping people hire, we helped them do what we did and what we had success with. Eventually, I decided, wow, this is actually really fun. It's way more fun than running a bookkeeping business. And so I decided to pull that service out and create a new company team up and just focus on that.
Nice. I love it. So now that you are helping people hire, you see what they do, how they go about it, what they run into, and so on. You've have the benefit of seeing the patterns, right? So because hiring is such a challenge, and it's not like we wake up and know exactly how to hire successfully, what's the first most common mistake that you see people running into?
Well, you're right. I'm talking with accountants all the time now. I do see the mistakes, and they tell me their mistakes, right? They said, I tried this and it just hasn't been working. And so they're looking for something different. And so I think I'll answer your question. But before that, I want to kind of set the stage that it's not actually that complicated. I think we make this idea of hiring overseas just so confusing and complicated because it's this mysterious thing, but it's just people. It's not actually that different. If you've already gone remote, it's not actually that different than having remote teams in your own country. So maybe that should be the first mistake, is making it too complicated. But we'll get into the actual tactics here. So the first mistake that people, this isn't necessarily what I see, is what people tell me about, is choosing the wrong structure. And so when you're thinking about hiring, you're thinking about building your team, there are a lot of options out there, some of which are, I guess there's a lot of awareness around, and others there aren't. So the first thing is choosing a structure that's misaligned to your goals. And so I think before you get into it, you really want to think about, well, what are you trying to achieve here? And get really clear on that. Because the different solutions that are available to you, some will be more appropriate for certain goals than others. And so you want to choose the one that's aligned to what you're trying to do.
When you say structure, what do you even mean? What are you talking about?
It's basically, how are you going to hire people? There are a few options, and it's, you know, you might want to think about it is as what's the structure of your contract, or how are you setting people up? Let me explain. The most common way of hiring, let's say in the Philippines or India, those are the two most well-known places to hire from offshore. You know, there's what we call the BPO companies. That stands for Business Process Outsourcing. And when people talk about offshoring or outsourcing, usually they're talking about working with one of these companies. It's usually a pretty large company. They have an office. They have staff that come to the office. They have desks and computers and policies. And basically, you have a contract with that company. And it's kind of a crude way of saying it, but effectively, you're leasing staff from them. You know, of course, there are a lot of different companies, a lot of different ways that they do it. Some will give you more direct access to the staff. Others have less direct access. Sometimes it feels like they're on your team. Other times it doesn't. They insert middle management and account managers and all of this. So that's usually what people are talking about. And that's one of the structures that you could choose. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So you're basically hiring the company and the company hires the people. There's different ways that works within there, but you're not hiring directly. You're not hiring the person directly.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, that can be good if you just want some immediate help. Some of the companies you just give the work to and the work gets done and you don't talk with the people who are doing the work and the work comes back and either it's correct or not correct and you can send revisions, and I'm not making any judgments on that now, but that's just, it's what it is. And sometimes these companies will swap staff out. That's how it works. Other times you do have more dedicated staff to you and you're able to communicate with them. The other option that you just mentioned is what we help people do. It's what I've built my teams, is hiring directly, like I said. So hiring a person rather than a company. So these are basically the two main choices that you have when choosing your structure.
So just to separate out the options for people, at the far end of the spectrum, you hire the company, you give them the work goes inside an an office with a bunch of people, the work gets done, it comes back to you, and you don't have any contact with the person. Sort of in the middle of the spectrum, you send the work to the company, it gets done, you may have a point of contact or person you know directly, but the work comes back to you, but you don't have responsibility for the hiring and the finding of those people. That's on the company. And then at the far end of the spectrum, if you hire direct, you're working directly with that person. You build a relationship over time, just as if they were your employee. They just happen to be overseas. So it would strike me that in terms of offshore hiring mistakes, the first one is having a clear understanding of the differences between those things and having your expectations be aligned with what you're getting, knowing what you're getting yourself into, knowing the pros and cons, and being able to understand which of the options on that spectrum is the best fit for your business. Do I have that right? Or is that?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Because I could imagine for the person who's never done this before, who hasn't gone overseas, that this would be just understanding that piece and the distinctions between the options would make a person go, oh, okay, I hadn't even thought that I could hire a full-time person who is overseas, but is effectively my own employee. So let's talk about the second one, hiring the wrong person. So what does that look like? I mean, I think a lot of our listeners will be like, yeah, I've hired the wrong person before. I know what that feels like. But how do you know beforehand when you're about to hire the wrong person?
Just to set the context, for the rest of what we'll be talking about, it's from my perspective, and my perspective is hiring people directly. And so this will apply if you're hiring somebody, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Rather than hiring a company.
Right.
So yes, you want to hire good people, hire the right people. Everybody knows that, but...
Easier said than done.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think one of the biggest factors in hiring the wrong person is focusing on skills over attitude. Business owners all know this, that you should hire for attitude, but nobody does it. You know, it's like as soon as you get a resume and you get a profile, maybe you exchange some emails, the questions, it's like that understanding just goes right out your brain and you just ask about their experience. Have you done this? Have you done that? Do you know this tool? Do you know that? I don't quite understand it, but you should have more focus on the attitude. Who is this person, right? Not everybody who is qualified is going to be a great fit for every firm. You know, if you hire someone who has the right skills, but just isn't a good fit for whatever reason, you know, that may work out temporarily, but you know, 9-10 months later, you're going to find some issue, and either they're going to leave on because that they want something else out of their career, or you don't like the way that they respond to you, and it's not going to work out. And so it's like you said in the beginning, hiring the wrong person is expensive in time and money and frustration.
So how do you hire for the right attitude? Because you're not going to be like, so what's your attitude?
Well, why not? Sure, of course you can. So that goes to the next point in solving this problem of hiring the wrong person is how do you find the right person? That's called recruiting. You know, I'd like to tell people, you know, it's not actually that complicated. It's just a lot of work. Somebody has to do it. It's a process of marketing. It really is marketing. If you want great people, the harsh, uncomfortable truth is they don't need you. Great people have lots of options, and so they don't need you or me. How can you get them? You have to attract them. And so that starts with a compelling vision for what the opportunity is here. And so, you know, we could talk for hours about job descriptions and what to put in there and how to do that. But that's really what I'm talking about is if you're putting out a job description, a job listing on some job board somewhere. And by the way, everything that we're going to talk about is true for hiring locally as well as in the Philippines, for example. If your job description, if you're posting on a website like Indeed or something, if it looks like other listings on that website, you're guaranteed to only get mediocre candidates. So you have to stand out.
Stand out and be more interesting, because there's a lot of ways you could stand out and be unattractive.
Right. Every firm is unique. It's made up of unique people. and everyone has their own culture. And so what you need to do is lean into that. You don't want to appeal to everybody because then you're generic. Obviously, you as a person are unique. Show what is unique about your firm. And it could be as simple as sharing what the culture is or what the personality, if the firm had a personality, what would it be like? And people who resonate with that will be interested. That's pretty simple. But we don't think to really emphasize that.
I think part of the challenge is that when people, and this will get to, I think, the last of the fifth points that we're going to talk about, is that a lot of people arrive at hiring already way too busy.
Oh, yeah.
And they put themselves in a bind by being way too busy to even consider, what are we about? What does make our firm different? Where is our firm going? They don't have the bandwidth to consider those questions because they're so buried in work, which is the reason that they're looking for help. And two things in there that I can hear listeners going, oh God, you said it's a lot of work and you have to market your position. And a lot of CPAs, accountants say to me, they're like, I don't want to market. I don't have time to market. I hate marketing.
Yeah.
Right. And so now they have to market a job posting, a role to fill. Right. So you've just said two things that they're just like, It's a lot of work and I have to market and I'm already busy with production help.
Yeah.
So for the person who's in that situation, which I think is a lot of people, waiting too long to hire or to start the hiring process, which is a common mistake, right? To wait too long to hire, but we learn these things by doing them. Say they've gotten themselves inadvertently into that boat and they're like, okay, look, I got you. I totally get it. Theoretically, you're right. I see the problem, but listen, buddy, I'm slammed. I need to hire somebody pronto. I know it's a lot of work. I know I got to market the position, but like, help me do this fast. How do I figure out what makes our firm different so I can attract solid talent so that I can get a quality person up and running yesterday?
Work with the recruiter. Simple.
Would you be like, I know, but stop the presses, because if you rush this, you're going to pay for it 6 months down the line.
Well, yes, but somebody has to do all that work. Like I said, recruiting is just a lot of work and somebody has to do it if you want a good result. So if you don't have time to do it, work with someone else who will do it.
So that's part of the benefit of working with somebody like you or with your team, is that you handle the recruiting part of it and the accountant doesn't have to do that part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm not here to just pitch myself.
Yeah.
But yes, that's why I started this business, is so that people could have a good result. You know, it's a lot of work. Somebody needs to do it. So we'll do it for you. We know how, right?
So once an accountant who's looking to fill a role is like, okay, I don't have time to do the recruiting. It's a lot of work. I don't have time to do the marketing. It's a lot of work. I'm not interested. I'm going to get some help with this. And they want to go overseas. Bringing on a person who is overseas, surely by living inside a different culture, they are going to have a different culture. So what do they need to be aware of or sensitive to avoiding cultural misunderstandings?
So yes, that's the third mistake, is not understanding the culture. So I'll be talking about Philippines because that's, my team is all in the Philippines. I've worked with people there for 10 years, and that's where we help people hire. It's interesting. The Philippines is a wonderful place, wonderful, lovely people. They're so much fun. You know, one of the reasons that people choose to hire in the Philippines, well, I think probably the main reason is they speak English there very well. In addition to that, I think one of the reason they speak English is because there's been so much cross-pollination and culture between the U.S. especially, but other countries like Australia. It's an Asian country, Southeast Asian country, that I would say probably the most similar to, let's say, American culture, but it is still different. Like, this is the most common problem that I see. There's what I call the Filipino yes. So let's give you, you're laughing like you
well,
know.
Well, I know the Peruvian yes. I remember I remember being lost in the Andes and learning that there was such a thing as a Peruvian yes.
I haven't heard of that one, but let's see, maybe it's similar. Let's say, here's a story I hear all the time, and it used to happen to me. By the way, if it ever sounds like I know what I'm talking about, it's only because I've made all the mistakes. So all of the problems, I've had them all. So let's say you have someone in the Philippines, you give them a new task or a project or something. You talk about it, you explain it, you're maybe on a Zoom call or something, and you go over it and you give the step-by-step instructions if that's necessary. Let's just say yes. And you go, okay, great. You got it. Do you understand? And through the Zoom call, there's a smiling face nodding and saying, yes, I got this, right? And so you go, great, okay, I'm going to check in with you in 2 days. So you go, 2 days later, you have your next call and, or you Slack them a message, say, okay, hey, what's the status on this task that we talked about? And she says, well, I haven't started. And you're like, what? What do you mean? Were you too busy? No, I just haven't done any of it. It's like, why? Why didn't you? And she says, oh, I didn't understand. And you're like, wait a second. Didn't we talk about this? But I didn't understand this and that. And so then you are just left totally bewildered. Like, what's happening here? And if that happens more than a few times, you're starting to wonder, like, what? I don't even know if I can work with these people. So that's a pretty common problem. And I'm wondering if any of the listeners are listening going, oh, yeah. So is that similar to the Peruvian yes?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a different context, but it was basically like we were lost way up high in the Andes and we'd be like, hey, is it this valley or that valley? And they're like, yeah, it didn't matter. We would just get a yes no matter what. And if they didn't know, there would just be yes. So anyways, we learned to ask 3 times and we'd have to get 2 affirmative yeses on like this way or that way before we, yeah. So we ended up, and we learned that because we ended up in the wrong valley. So anyways,
yeah,
yes doesn't always mean yes. And that's okay. You just have to learn how to sort of exist in that framework.
So this is a cultural thing. So there are some fundamentals. I would say probably roughly four of the most fundamental differences between their culture and mine. One is, the community or group focus versus individualistic, right? So Americans are the most individualistic people in the world, I think. And so, of course, Asian cultures are usually a lot more community focused. So that's one thing. That in itself isn't necessarily a factor in the story that I just described, but it is a difference. The next three are definitely part of this situation. So one is direct versus indirect communication. Americans are very direct, like, hey, I need you to do this. Can you do this? And we expect a direct response back, yes or no, or yeah, but I need help with this. Other cultures are more indirect. In the Philippines and some other cultures, they may want to hint at things and hope that you pick up on these subtle hints. And me, I'm not at all going to pick up on any hinting. You have to tell me exactly what you expect from me, and I'll tell you if I can do that or not. Also, that's direct and indirect, as in they may want somebody else to be a go-between.
Yeah.
Another thing is the hierarchy. In working culture in the Philippines is very hierarchical, and there's a lot of respect for the boss, especially if you're the owner of a company or if you call yourself a CEO or a founder, right? My companies have all been small companies, and so, I'm not a huge corporation or anything like that. And so sometimes when I talk to people I want to hire, they'll be like, whoa, I'm talking to the CEO. I can't believe it. And they'll get all nervous. And I'm like, and I have to like go, just chill out. This is okay. I'm not anybody special. And so in that respect, the boss in that culture, you don't question the boss because decisions are made hierarchically and the boss is always right. And so sometimes even if the boss is telling you something you know is wrong, you just go away and you pretend that you did it and you come back. And so that's part of the culture. The third thing that is wrapped up in this example is the concept of face. I think we've all heard of saving face. you know, my Western interpretation of that is boils that down to like, you don't want to be embarrassed, or, you know, there's an honor in that you lose when you're embarrassed or humiliated privately, but especially publicly. All of these things contribute to a person not really wanting to tell you the direct, like, I don't know how to do what you're telling me to do. And I think it's weird that, like, it's less embarrassing to not get it done than to admit that you don't know how to do it. That doesn't make sense to me. But that's the reality. So I think those three things, like, if you can understand that, will really help you out.
So if you find yourself working with staff in the Philippines or overseas where there are these cultural differences, how do you address or preempt those challenges?
Well, hire the right person in the first place. You know, I have a few common answers to every question. And I think hiring the right person, that was mistake number two, was hiring the wrong person. If you hire the right person, that prevents almost all problems. And so when we're talking about this situation, let's, you know, point out that, did you see what I just did there? I painted an entire country with the same generalization brush, right? But not everybody is the same. And so some people in the Philippines are more comfortable with this direct style communication. Some people are just more comfortable with the way that we want to work with them. So hire those people, right? And those people may be more comfortable just because of their personality, but others may be more comfortable because they've had years of exposure working with Western firms. Find them, identify them, and hire them.
This is so interesting because as you're talking, I'm realizing that I've had a VA in the Philippines for at least 5 years who is awesome and lovely and doesn't exhibit any of what you and I have been talking about. So just goes to show. So let's talk about this person that you have hired overseas that is in many ways like a W-2 on your staff, just happens to be thousands of miles away. What are the classic mistakes that you see regarding thinking of them as a person far away who's just getting the job done versus a person being on your staff?
So yes, that goes to our fourth mistake, is focusing on the tasks and ignoring the human. And this goes back to kind of what I said at the beginning. You know, it's actually not that different from hiring remotely in your own country or even locally, like if they're coming to your office. I think it's, you know, when we moved away from, you know, sitting at a desk next to somebody and to interacting with cameras and Slack messages and things like that, you know, we lost a lot of that human touch. And just by accident, really. I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of remote work and hiring internationally. But there are trade-offs. And because, you know, you don't have random lunches together and things like that, you have to be more intentional about it. And so spending time getting to know people, building those relationships, you know, whether we're talking about in your office locally or in a different country, you know, we're talking about building teams and these are people. And so you build relationships of trust over time. And so if you don't do that, if you just focus on the tasks getting done, that may work for a while, but you're not going to build that lasting relationship that you need to have, you know, for one, a great thriving team in the first place, but also it just doesn't have lasting power because they're like, eh, you know, I could do these tasks here with this firm. People have lots of opportunities, and if they're not happy where they are, right, they take the next one. Great talent has options and they don't need you, right?
Yeah, great talent has options and they don't need you. Make it so that they want to be with you.
Salaries, you know, people ask me about salaries, like, okay, so what do I need to pay this person so that I don't lose them? Well, that's fair, but salaries are only one piece of the puzzle, right? The rest, do they feel included? Or do you treat them as the others, right? Those people over there.
Right. Like they're in their own class somehow.
Yeah. You know, it's because they're so far away, you pay them a lot less. You know, it's easy to value them less or to not think of them the same as your local staff. That comes through. So spend a lot of time with them. And this, again, this is true not just with your Philippines staff, but also your remote staff in Oregon or wherever. Spend a lot of time with them. A lot of calls, team calls together. You know, you should have team calls once a week with everybody. If you're not doing that, you should probably think about it. You should also have one-on-one calls with everybody who reports to you. If you're a small firm, I guess everybody reports to you. If you have other leaders, right, those people will report to them. But have one-on-one calls and spend these the time that you have getting to know each other. What are their, do they have kids? What do they do on the weekends? Do they have hobbies, right? You know, I think tools have become so amazing these days. We have all these productivity tools. And so much can be done. So much work can be done that you actually don't need to talk about work as much as you do. And I can give you a whole productivity system to do that, but you can. So with that time, spend time with them.
Yeah.
Because you're not going out to lunch.
Totally. Yeah. You're not meeting them at the water cooler and stuff.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this last one here, which I see so many people running into this, and I ran into it myself in our first business, waiting until you are buried in work to think about and begin the hiring process. So dig into this one a little bit more for us.
A big mistake. I see it all the time. Every accountant I talk to is just out of their mind busy.
Yeah.
That's the reality, right? Continuing to wait. So many people tell me, oh, I wish I had done this last year. If you don't have time, if you can't dedicate time with your new staff, you're just going to fail at this. I mean, it's just the harsh, nasty truth. I'm working with one accountant right now, and he told me, oh, I didn't even talk to her in her first week.
Ah.
He said my hair is on fire, and unfortunately, it didn't work out. And you know, now we are replacing that one, and I'm trying to help him, you know, onboard. I can't do it for him. You know, building your business is not always easy, and you have to prioritize the things that are important. And if you want to build a team, that's important.
Yeah, if the model that you're going for is having team do a lot of the work, then there needs to be time and energy carved out for everything that is included in building a team. The thing I see about waiting too long to hire and waiting until your hair is on fire to hire is exactly that example that you cited. You wait too long to hire, you're super busy, you don't even talk to your person for the first week, and then you funnel money, time, energy into having gotten that person on board. You think they're going to get a bunch of the work done, but they can't because they're not equipped, and then they leave, and then now you're worse off. It makes the problem worse instead of making it better. So for listeners who are like, okay, this has been really helpful. And remember, number one, make sure you understand the structures that are available to you and pick the right one. Number two, hire the right person. Number three, appreciate that you're hiring inside a different culture. Number four, focus on the person, not just the tasks. And number five, start hiring long before you think you're ready. So for people who are like, yes, please, I need help, I think I can navigate those challenges, all of this sounds amazing, where can they find you and your company?
I'm very happy to talk with people. This is what we do. We recruit staff for people who want to hire directly in the Philippines. Yeah, head on over to our website, hireteamup.com. And we've got a lot of resources there. We've got a lot of articles that help go into a lot more of the details. But also, if you just want to have a call with me and ask me questions, I'm happy to do that. I don't do sales pitches. It's, you know, just come chat. We'll have a good time, and hopefully I can help.
This has been so great. Isaac, thank you so much for coming on the Business Strategy for CPAs podcast.
This has been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Hi again. Would you rather spend your weekends outside playing or at your desk? In Down to 40 Hours CPA Mastermind, we put an end to overworking while maintaining revenue. Go to geraldinecarter.com to learn more. Dates, times, pricing, it's all there.